Hello, everybody. Welcome to Discovering Hidden Treasures. I'm Brother Chuck Pate. Today, we're going to be sharing with you part one of a five-part interview with my very special guest, Maria Moroa. And we're going to be discussing some very misinterpreted scriptures that I think will be very informative and clear up a lot of confusion in the church world. Maria is a very busy woman. She has a weekly program on the Hebrew Nations Radio. She's busy on her blogs along with her speaking engagements, but she still has time to speak to someone like me, and we're going to pass it on to you, our listeners. She even has her own website and ministry, and it's called Double Portion, and we'll be giving that website, and it's www.doubleportions.com, and maybe during each segment, and of course at the end. Well, let's get right into our interview with Maria. Maria, welcome to the show.
Oh, welcome, Chuck. Thank you so much for having me.
You know, in my two-minute promo leading up to our interview that you didn't hear, it's pretty plain to see that you're a very busy person. I mean, with your Shema radio program on the Hebrew Nations Radio, your Facebook, podcasts, speaking engagements, your writings, and you still have time to fit someone like me in for an interview.
Oh, well, I never consider anybody unimportant or insignificant, and you know, everybody who is willing to have ears to hear what Yahuwah would like to say to them, I'm a willing vessel, and so I don't have that elitist type of attitude, but I appreciate you having me, and it's an honor.
So, well, we want to welcome you to Discovering Hidden Treasures here in Southern Ohio, and the program we're on is 6:60 a.m., and they call themselves Ohio's Giant Gospel. It's Ohio's largest gospel station, so they have a lot of listeners, and you're going to hear some things that might seem controversial and things that you've never heard before, but this person we have on the radio, I'm going to give your website real quick. I want people to know who I'm talking to, so they can get on the internet.
Ahead.
It's www.doubleportionsinheritance.com. Is that right?
That's correct.
Well, I want everybody to grab a pencil and piece of paper handy, because, Maria, I know you're loaded with truth from hours of research, so you're pretty good at details, and that's what I really what really drew me to your ministry. So I'm just warning everybody ahead of time that if you don't get a chance, that you can't keep up with us, don't worry, because I'll post this program and any other programs we might do on the website where you can hear it and you can play it over and over. And you can also go to Maria's website, because she has tons of things. You're going to hear just a little bit of how the Father has really blessed her with a lot of knowledge and insight. So are you ready to get started with some questions that I want to lay on you here?
Absolutely. I love it. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Well, one of the first things I want you to share with my listeners that I get asked a lot, because I begin to the doors are opening up in this area, because it's a new teaching. They've never heard it before. And it's about the paleo pictographs and also the Hebrew alphabet, how important it is. And something they've never heard before is Hebrew roots movement. And so one of the questions I want to ask you, Maria, is why should they even care about going back to the original Hebrew, let alone become familiar with I call it his magnificent 22 alphabet?
Well, you know, what's really fascinating, I have the eSword, and you know, you can download the eSword free online. Just go to eSword, E-S-W-O-R-D, and what I can do, not everybody's able to do it, but I am able to get the Hebrew, ancient Paleo Hebrew, as my font, settings. And when I choose ancient Paleo Hebrew as my font settings, what's really amazing is when you look in Genesis 1:1, we're all familiar with that scripture. It says, in the beginning, that was an advertisement.
Go ahead. That's all right. I like to get information in our hand or tools to work with.
No, I went to open up my eSword, and it's just like this music started playing, and I thought, where's that music coming from? No, it was just an interruption. Did you hear the music?
I didn't hear it on my end. Maybe my listeners did.
Okay, well, there was music playing, and I thought, oh, I didn't know where that was coming from. It was from the, you know, one of the advertisements on eSword. But anyway, what I was getting ready to say was, when you open it up to Genesis 1:1 and you look at the pictographs, you know, the most ancient form of Hebrew alphabet, there's actually four stages that the Hebrew alphabet went through. And the first, the oldest Hebrew alphabet is called pictograph, paleo pictograph. They're pictures, they're little pictures. The letter Aleph, which is equivalent to our letter A, looks like an ox head. And then the second letter, the Bet, looks like a tent. And, you know, the last letter, the Tav, looks just like a cross. So when Messiah was saying in the book of Revelation, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, that was the Greek translation. But he would have said to John, I am the Aleph and the Tav. In other words, he was saying, I am the first letter and the last letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And when you think about it, in John 1:1, it says that, you know, in the beginning, you know, that he was the Word, that, you know, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, correct? Well, correct. If he's the Word, and the Word, you know, came and put on human flesh and dwelt among us, well, what are words made up of? Words are made up of letters, right? Okay, so if he's the Word that became flesh, he's the alphabet that became flesh. He's the Hebrew alphabet that became flesh. So every letter in the Paleo-Hebrew pictographs, each letter tells a story about him. And I remember I first learned this back in 1997. I got a book called Messiah and His Hebrew Alphabet by this guy by the name of Dick Mills, who's a Christian, by the way. He's not even...
Yeah, he didn't sound Jewish.
No, he's just a Hebrew, his son-in-law, I guess, wrote the book, and he kind of, put his stamp of approval on it, but it's called Messiah and His Hebrew Alphabet. And it's vast fascinating because every letter paints a picture of Messiah. And like Aleph, the first letter represents the sacrificial animal. And for those who may not be aware, he fulfilled not only the Passover lamb sacrifice, but he also fulfilled the red heifer sacrifice, which is talked about in Numbers 19. The red heifer sacrifice is the sacrifice that cleanses the altar in the temple when it's been defiled. And that's the only sacrifice that's done outside the camp. All the other sacrifices are done in the temple, and the priests were supposed to take the red heifer outside the camp and kill it, take the ashes of the red heifer, mix it with water, and make this solution that was so strong that it would burn your skin if you didn't wear gloves while using it. But the point being is that he's the sacrificial animal, okay? And then the Bet represents the house. The Bet, you know, he's the house of Israel embodied in a human being, you know? And then the Gimel, the third letter, which means the foot or the burden bearer, where he bore our burdens for us. The Dalet, the fourth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, means the door. Well, he said, I am the door, correct?
Correct. I am the way, I am the truth.
Exactly. So when we break down the Hebrew alphabet, in each letter we see some aspect of him, his character, his attributes. So in Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, of course, I use the name, I don't use the word God per se. I say Elohim, which is how you say, you know, God in Hebrew. The reason I don't use the English word for God is because, you know, a lot of pagan deities were called gods. You know, even the Apostle Shaul or Paul said, you know, there's many lords and there's many gods. So how do we make the distinction? I believe it's important to differentiate him by using his proper name. And we got away from it because the scribes put a ban on saying the name, which was against the scriptures. We're supposed to use his proper name. So they inserted 7,000 times wherever the Father's name is supposed to appear in scripture, four Hebrew letters spell out his name, which is called the Tetragrammaton. They've replaced it with the word Lord. And so there's, like the Apostle Paul said in the book of Acts, there's many lords, there's many gods. So, you know, Satan would love to fill that role or fill those shoes. So we can't be that generic. That was the controversy that Elijah the prophet had with the Israelites. He said, you know, if Yahuwah is God or the Mighty One, then worship him. But if Baal is the Mighty One, then worship him. Well, if you look up the word Baal in your Strong's Concordance, it means Lord, or it means master. So it's not that those are bad words in and of themselves, but it's like saying, well, you know, just calling him by just any generic title that can pretty much fit any fallen angel. And it's not distinct enough. So it's fine if you want to call him Lord, but make sure you put his proper name in there so that we know which Lord we're talking about or which master we're talking about. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I love my wife, and so I know what her name is, what she wants to be called. If I said, hey, you, come here, or whatever, or made up any other name for her, she probably wouldn't like that.
Right, and, you know, I like to use this analogy. Israel was known as a harlot. She went after her, you know, pagan deities. And, you know, I like to use this analogy. If a man married a woman, and let's just say that in her former life she used to be a prostitute, and now she's married and she's, you know, she's born again, she's been changed and everything, she's no longer a prostitute, but she's calling her husband, hey, mister. And she never calls him by his first name or his proper name. She just says, hey, mister. Well, he's going to feel like, wait a minute, didn't you used to call the men on the streets mister? You know.
Yeah, and I got to feel very special.
Exactly. So, you know, our Heavenly Father, our Creator, wants to be called by his proper name too. Because, you know, makes him feel set apart and special. And he's not impersonal. He's like we are because we're made in his image. So he wants to be called by his proper name.
Well, you know, the amazing thing about the paleo pictographs is that if you read in Zephaniah 3:9, he says in the last, you know, that he's going to mm-hmm. restore the pure language to everybody in the millennium. And so that pure language was Hebrew, the language that they spoke, but it was pure. It goes back a little farther than that, because when Moses wrote the first five books, the instructions of Torah, they were written in the picture language. And it's kind of interesting when you look at Matthew 18, I think it's verse 3 or 4. It says, "Unless you become as little children, you shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven." And so I was like a little child. I don't know how you felt. I was like a little child going back to these pictures and learning what all these meanings and how each one of these letters have a body, soul, and spirit, and how powerful they are, and how each one of those words or letters formed words and meanings and numbers. And that's what spoke the whole world into existence and filled our what we call the Bible with these spiritual words.
Right, exactly. And you know, you just cited that scripture, Zephaniah 3:9, and I'm going to read it word for word here. It says, "For then," you know, let me go back one verse. It says, "Therefore wait you upon me, says Yahuwah, until the day that I rise up to the prey, for my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them my indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy." And then he says, "For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of Yahuwah to serve him with one consent." So there's a purpose behind why he's going to restore us to a pure language, because he wants us to call upon his name with one consent.
Well, we know what happened when there was in one mind and one consent, because on the day of Pentecost, the Bible tells us in Acts that they were in one mind and one accord. And look what happened on that day.
Exactly. They were in one accord. But see, at the Tower of Babel, they were all of one mind under a false unity. And oftentimes we have people being willing to compromise truth for the sake of unity, and we can't do that. The type of unity that our Father's interested in is the type of unity that is grounded in truth, and we can't compromise truth for the sake of unity.
Well, that's a good example of just because you go to a church that might have 5,000 members or thousands of people, that don't necessarily mean they're right.
Right. Well, exactly. And that's the whole reason why Yahuwah broke up that thing at the Tower of Babel, because he saw that they were unified under a satanic, you know, religion and government. Nimrod was like the first attempt at the New World Order. The Tower of Babel was the first attempt at the one world religion and government of the false Messiah. And he broke that up. He had to break it up so that they wouldn't become unified and strengthened under that satanic system.
Well, I know that, you know, I know it wasn't ready for at that time, because he, you know, there was a lot of prophecy yet to be fulfilled, so I guess he had to stop it. But if you look at if you look at some of the prophecies, that verse you read in verse 8, I think I told you the other night when we talked on the phone that that is one of the verses that has all 22 letters, the original letters of the alphabet, in that verse 8 that leads up to the verse 9 of the language that he's going to restore.
That's exactly right. Now, what I was getting ready to say is in chapter Genesis 1:1, it says, "In the beginning, Elohim created the heaven," you know, or the Shamayim in Hebrew. The Shamayim is how you say heaven, and the earth, or the Eretz, how you say earth in Hebrew is Eretz. But when you look at it in the pictographs, you see the Aleph and the Tav right before the word heaven. So it actually says, in the beginning, Elohim created the Aleph and the Tav, the heaven and the, and then right after the word heaven, it's Aleph, Tav, and Wa again. And what those letters represent are, the Aleph looks just like the ox head, which means the sacrificial animal, or the red heifer. The Tav in the ancient pictographs looks just like a cross, the cross sticks, and the Wa, which in modern Hebrew is pronounced as a Vav, means the nail. So when you're reading this in Genesis 1:1, it says that Yahuwah Elohim, that he created the Aleph and the Tav. In other words, he created the Hebrew alphabet himself at creation.
Well,
yeah, and it says it right there. But see, it's not represented in English because they don't know what to do with that word. In Hebrew, it's number 853 in the Strong's Concordance. It's a word that they don't know what to do with. It's called eight. It's just E-Y-T, eight. That's how you pronounce it. And it's kind of like, it says it in the Strong's that it's unrepresented in English. So they just left it out. But when you look in the Hebrew scriptures, it's all over the place, which is all messianic prophecy embedded in the scriptures. It's showing us Messiah. He's the beginning and the end. He is the Alpha and the Omega, or the Aleph and the Tav. And so right there in Genesis 1:1, you have that Elohim created the Aleph and the Tav. Now, Messiah had a pre-incarnate existence. He was not a created being. He created all things, but his body was prepared in advance, like it says in Hebrews, that thou hast prepared a body for me. So, in other words, he was always the lamb slain from the foundations of the world in eternity past. So you see, the Father, you know, Yahuwah has actually always existed. He's not a created being, but he created the physical manifestation of the Son. In other words, the Son has a created body, so to speak. The Father created the body, his physical body, that was going to be crucified.
Well, you know, those letters, each one of them, if you look at it, you can only see it in Hebrew. And that's one of the amazing things that we can't see with our King James, is that when you break the words down in Hebrew, you see that the word Bereshit means in the beginning, created, Elohim. And then that Aleph Tav, that Et, is not, there's no translation there. And so he created the alphabet there. And then it said the heavens and the earth. And there's the Aleph Tav again. But there's a Vav in front of it. And that's what connects heaven and earth. And so when he says, I'm the Aleph and the Tav, or the Alpha and the Omega in the Greek, he's saying that he is everything in between. And just like in Isaiah 46:10, he spoke the end from the beginning.
Mm-hmm, that's right. Exactly. So I think it's interesting because there's so much similarity between Genesis 1:1 and John 1:1. Because John 1:1 starts with the same principle of in the beginning. You know.
Well, you know, when I came to the Lord 41 years ago, you know, went to the altar, you know, the way that all of us have. The first thing they told me was to go home and read John 1:1, begin in
right.
John. Now, you know, it's kind of ironic, and it's a little funny that the Father would be that, could see that far in the future and know everything. We have to give him credit because they never said go back to the Genesis in the beginning, because he said go to John, and then here he stuck it, the same thing. He put in John the same thing that's in Genesis.
Right. So when you read it, John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Elohim, you know, or God, as they say it in English. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Elohim, and the Word was Elohim. The same was in the beginning with Elohim. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So, of course, we know this is referring to the Messiah, that he is the Word of Elohim. And the Word is made up of Hebrew letters. So it totally makes sense when you look at Genesis 1:1 and you read it as it is in the paleo pictographs. It says, in the beginning, Elohim created the Aleph and the Tav, meaning the Hebrew alphabet, the heaven and the earth. You know, and so it actually tells you he created the Hebrew alphabet from the beginning. In other words, he created the Word, you know. In other words, Messiah is one with the Father. They share the same spirit. They're of the same essence. But his body, his human body, was a created thing, but not his pre-incarnate existence. He was one with the Father from eternity past.
Well, it says he was a living Word. Well, Maria, we're out of time on this segment. Do you have time to do another segment?
Absolutely.
Well, let me sign off here, and when you come back, we're going to be talking. Here's some of the topics we're going to be talking. We're going to be talking about divorce. We're going to try and clear what that says. We're also going to be clearing up about women keeping silence in the church, the mark of the beast, and what foods to eat, and what days of Sabbath. So we've got a lot of things that we're going to be talking about on the next program.
Oh, I love
so,
it.
so we'll see you. Don't go away. Stay tuned.
Okay. Sounds great.
Hold on. Bye-bye. Well, we're out of time. I hope you've enjoyed today's interview with my guest, Maria Marolo, on today's program. As you've heard, she will be back and do another segment with us, a total of 5 in all. And everyone is awesome, full of insight and truth. If you wish to know more about Maria and what she does, her website is www.doubleportion.com. I want to thank you all for tuning in today. Don't forget to visit our website at www.discoveringhiddentreasures.net. We're going to post all 5 segments on our show. So if any of your friends or neighbors miss these interviews, you can tell them, hey, let's get on the website. Brother Chuck, he's got this special guest named Maria Marola, and I think you need to hear this. So I'm kind of excited. There's some topics we're going to be covering that you've never quite heard anything like this before, so tell everybody. Well, we got to go. We love you all in the Lord, and we want to do what we can to try and bring good listening stuff to this program that'll feed your soul and spirit. Most of all, we want you to get into the Word of God and learn what He wants to show you, but you need to study. So until next time, may God bless. Shalom, everybody.